Hi, I'm Stefan Aiskens. I'm an Azure specialist and a Microsoft MVP. I have a particular interest for artificial intelligence. I have been involved in several AI-related real-world projects in the past 3 years. Therefore, I want to share some lessons learned and, of course, some technical bits with the community. Please follow me on Twitter, as I'll keep sharing extra bits and I'll be announcing the upcoming of new episodes. This course is made of multiple episodes, and some of them might not be recorded yet by the time you watch the current episode. The course explains some fundamental AI concepts and will slowly increase in complexity with real-world examples and concrete business scenarios that could be relevant to your enterprise. You will learn how to create and consume Azure Cognitive Services, as well as how to educate more advanced services and specialize them to fit your specific needs. No technical prerequisite is necessary, as I will try to be as exhaustive as possible in my explanations. However, the course is primarily intended to developers, but part of it is accessible to non-developers as well. This episode is aimed at describing the typical steps that are involved in creating and consuming a cognitive service. As a chatbot will be used in all the episodes, I will also explain and show how to get started with a minimal chatbot. Keep in mind that Azure is a moving target and most of the services we're gonna be using are still in preview at the time of recording this video, so some steps are subject to change. Although this course is not about the bot framework, I will depict the overall bot architecture so that you can easily get started and create your own bot to consume and leverage the Azure Cognitive Services. The channels are all possible communication channels that are available out of the box to interact with the bot. In other words, your bot's code is the same whatever channel is used, although you can optionally adapt it according to which channel is used by your user. I've only listed a few channels, but beware that there are many more channels as we'll see later. The middle layer is the bot framework, a Microsoft SDK available for both .NET and Node.js that helps developing your bot and handling conversational aspects. We'll not deep dive into the SDK during the course, but we'll scratch its surface as we will set up a minimal chatbot. The bot's code is executed by the message endpoint, a public-facing endpoint that is called by an intermediate Microsoft layer. In the right-hand side, I have added Language Understanding Intelligence Service, also known as LUIS, as this is the layer to understand the user's intentions and to extract valuable information before taking action. Note that for very basic bots, LUIS is not required. We'll see a brief introduction of LUIS in this episode, but I'll dedicate a full episode to LUIS for you to better understand how to train it properly and how to use it as its best. LUIS can be trained by business users and does not require any technical skills. Okay, now that you know the bits and bytes about bots, let's see how to create one. There are three steps involved in creating a bot. The first one is the creation of the message endpoint, in other words, the API that is supposed to handle incoming messages. The second one is the bot registration itself, as this is necessary to let Microsoft know about your bot and how to get back to your message endpoint. And the last one is enabling and using a channel. I'm going to perform these steps now. I start by creating a resource group. I click on the new menu. I'm looking for resource group. And I hit create. I call it channel line course and I wait until the resource group gets provisioned. It's a best practice to create resource groups as it allows you to bundle all the services related to a single application within the same group. It makes it easier to set up a clear segregation among applications and to decommission an application once it reaches end of life. In the context of this course, I will be creating all my other Azure components into that group so that it will make my life easier when the course will be completed and when I'll need to clean my Azure tenant. Now that the resource group is created, I'm going to create an Azure web app that will host the code of our message endpoint. Here again, I click on New, look for Web App, and then Create. I give it a name, and I select the resource group I created in the previous step. Note that I'm creating both the resource group and the web app manually for sake of simplicity, but in the real world, you'd probably look at automated provisioning using DevOps techniques and Azure Resource Manager. Now that the web app got created, I'm downloading its publishing profile, which I'll use later to publish the code of the message endpoint. I create a new project and I'm looking for the bot application template. I give a name to my project. The project gets created with all the required dependencies. I want to highlight in particular the Microsoft Bot Builder NuGet package that is a C# version of the Bot Framework SDK. I now switch to the message controller, which is our message endpoint. As you can see, the class is decorated with the bot authentication attribute. This guy is there to make sure all incoming messages originate from an eligible client that possesses the bot secret, as we will see later. Now comes the body of the post method, which is triggered for every incoming activity. By default, the template only catches activities of type message, but beware that other types also exist. Here the code merely echoes the incoming message and its length. It's now time to publish this code to the web app we created in the previous step. I will do so using the publishing profile I downloaded. I am always adding an extra S in the destination URL to make sure we use the right scheme, and then I simply publish using the default settings. Our project has now been published and is ready for registration. That's what we'll see in the next clip. Until now, the resource group creation, the web app creation, and the project creation in Visual Studio were all pertaining to step 1, meaning the creation of the message endpoint. To register a bot, I simply go to dev.botframework.com. I'm required to sign in, and I can sign in either with a Microsoft account, either with a corporate account. Once logged in, I go to My Bots, Create a Bot, and Register. I give the bot a name and fill in some descriptive fields. Now comes the important part, as I register my message endpoint, which is the URL of the web app I created earlier, followed by API/messages. The registration of a bot implies the creation of an Azure AD app that deals with authentication aspects. As it is not an optional step, make sure you have sufficient permissions to do so. It is important to keep the app ID and password, as we'll need to update the web.config of our message endpoint to complete the registration. At this stage, the bot isn't usable yet, as we still need to update the web.config file. We'll come back to this screen in a minute to see how to test our bot. Okay, so let's update the web.config with app ID and password we got during the registration process. I've opened my web.config file and I update it with the bot handle, app ID and app password. I republish the solution so that the bot is ready to receive the incoming messages. The Skype and WebChat channels are enabled by default. We'll see how to use the WebChat channel in the next episode, but for now, let's try and test our bot using the built-in UI. As you can see, our message endpoint replied correctly. The bot registration and plumbing is now set up correctly. Now that we have our minimal bot created, let's create our very first cognitive service that we will call from the bot's message endpoint to reply to incoming messages. The creation of a cognitive service always implies the following steps. Choosing a target API. As you remember from episode 1, Azure Cognitive Services come with many different APIs spread over 6 categories, so this step's utility is to decide which API to use. Choosing a pricing plan. In our scenario, we'll always take a free plan whenever possible. However, in real-world projects, you need to pay attention to the pricing plan as it dictates the amount of calls one can do per month, seconds, etc. So this may directly impact your business. The last step is required to be able to consume the service as a consumption key identifies the subscription being made in the previous step and its underlying pricing plan. I will now demo these steps, and I will ask you to pay attention as I will not repeat this over and over for each and every service I'll create further in this course. From the portal, I'm going to create a service of type text analytics as I will perform some sentiment analysis on the messages sent by user to the bot. In other words, instead of echoing the user text and its length, I will reply whether the user input sounds positive or negative. I want to make something easy to start since this episode is meant to set up the basics and there is already a lot to digest. We'll deep dive into some of the cognitive services in other episodes. As usual, to create the service, I click on New and look for Cognitive Service. I give it a name, and I'm looking for the Text Analytics API. There are many different pricing plans, and as stated earlier, you'd better choose carefully, as it has a direct impact on the usage. For this course, I'm gonna take a free plan. I then bind the service to my resource group and I hit create. Now that the service is created, it's time to retrieve a consumption key. Clicking on the service and then on the keys menu reveals two keys. The reason why you have two keys, and that's valid for many Azure building blocks, is to allow you to regenerate keys seamlessly for your consumers. As you know, it's a good practice to regenerate passwords and SSL certificates, the same applies to Azure keys. So if you distribute key 1 to your consumers just before regenerating it, you can distribute key 2 so that they update their own configuration before you regenerate key 1. So feel free to use either of those. Now that we have our consumption key, we're ready to consume our Text Analytics API. Before coming back to the code, I will show you how to consume the service directly with Fiddler. I guess you all know what Fiddler is, but in case not, it's a network sniffing tool that you can download for free. Among its numerous features, it allows you to compose HTTP requests. Using the Composer functionality of Fiddler, I make a post HTTP request against the sentiment endpoint. I specify my consumption key in the appropriate HTTP header. The service will validate this key. Without this parameter, you would simply get a 401 return code, meaning unauthorized. Using this consumption key is common to all the cognitive services, although some of them require extra efforts. I then define a body that contains two documents, one positive sentence, one negative sentence. Then I execute the request. In the results, we see two scores returned by the service. One is above 0.5, which means that the service detected a positive document. The other is below 0.5, which means that the service detected a negative document. We'll do exactly the same from the bot's message endpoint with the user input. This could really be used in the real world if the bot asks the user to give some feedback using his own words. But sentiment analysis is often used in survey scenarios or in online reviews where free text fields are made available to let the user express himself. Back to our project, I have defined a new method that's taking an input text, queries the Text Analytics API, and returns whether or not the content is positive or negative, as we did with Fiddler. I'm transmitting my consumption key, but this time document is the user input. This method is called from the message endpoints method, and I return an answer accordingly. Of course, I have republished this code to the Azure web app. So let's test the bot once again and see how it reacts. As you can see, our integration of the cognitive services with the bot works well. Okay, let's wrap it up. In this episode, you learned the bot fundamentals and how to set up a minimal bot. You also saw what are the typical steps involved when creating and consuming a cognitive service. In the next episode, we'll reuse our assets and we'll deep dive into Microsoft Lewis, and I'll show you tips and tricks inspired from a real-world implementation. Follow me on Twitter to get news about upcoming exciting new episodes. Please also feel free to rate and comment this episode to share ideas I could tackle in the next episodes.